let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know you all volume matched me this morning. Guys, who else has allergies that feel like they're taking you out? So this morning is brought to you by Cozy 101 and Delilah. So I can't. Okay, I'm going to pray now to redirect. Oh, God, you are good. And your goodness does chase after us, and your goodness does pursue us. And your goodness meets us here. Your goodness met us when we woke up in the middle of the night, when we woke up and got out of bed this morning. Your goodness is for us and always running after us. I pray that we would receive it. Amen. If you want to open your pew Bible, go to the book of Luke, which is towards the latter half. It's the third book of the New Testament. And we're going to Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 11. I'll wait a little bit, just in case. It's kind of a good sound, turning pages. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and he touched the bier they were carrying him on, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. When we decided that this series would be based on encounters that people had with Jesus, this passage immediately came to mind for me. It is a passage for me that has formed me in the last probably 10 years, maybe more than any other. And it is a passage that I deeply, deeply love and return to over and over again. It is a passage that when I think about an encounter with Jesus, I immediately go to one phrase in this particular scripture. So the story begins soon after Jesus had healed the centurion's servant, and he was just marveled at this man's faith. The man had said, "You don't need to come to my house. I know that you have the authority to heal even from a distance." And immediately the man's servant was healed. And it said that when Jesus heard his faith, he was in awe of his faith. It's the first time when Jesus was in awe of someone else. Then they walked from Capernaum, where they were, to the town of Nain. He was going with his disciples, and there was a large multitude of people. Now, that I looked up last night how far of a walk that is. I've kind of had in my mind that it was maybe, you know, like a 12-mile situation. It's a 30-mile situation. And so soon afterwards, I don't know how many days soon afterwards is. It's 11 hours to walk it straight. So imagine that you have been walking with a group of people for now cumulative of 11 hours. You are tired. I would imagine you, maybe Jesus was like, "I need some alone time, and these people keep following me around." I don't know the state that Jesus was in, but I like to imagine him walking, feeling connected both to himself and to the Father as he's walking, and aware of the people that are around him. As they approach the town gate, there's a funeral procession. And this is, there would be weeping, there would be just this crowd, a large crowd surrounding the woman who had lost her son. I love that these small details were given, that it was a widow who has now lost her child. And imagine that's the first thing. You're getting to your final destination and another large crowd meets you. There's something altogether extraordinarily ordinary that happens next. The text says, and he saw. These two words for me are the encounter with Jesus that I want to focus on. Not the miracle. Yes, raising someone from the dead is pretty extraordinary, but the fact that Jesus, in the midst of a crowd of people, in the midst of having traveled for 11 hours, in the midst of another large crowd, he saw someone. He saw her. This is, it's a powerful thing to be seen. It could have been very easy to walk right on by, but Jesus saw. Last week, I was leading a retreat in Florence, Italy, and we went to this art museum called the Uffizi, and guys, I had the hardest time in this art museum. I'm walking around, and I'm not a consumer of places. I am one who wants to come in and to encounter it. I want to soak it in. I want to learn from it. I want it to become my teacher. And you kind of get put in this, I don't know, it felt like a cattle, I don't know the word. Someone help me out. A cattle chute. Thank you. And sometimes words evade me, and I can see them, so I appreciate it. And so, we're going through, and you walk in, you see these pieces of art that are from somewhere from like 46 AD. And then there are others that are from 1200, and then there's a casual room with Michelangelo's work, and Caravaggio, and Leonardo da Vinci, and everyone is going through, and nobody's stopping. They keep going, and they'll stop, and they'll take a picture, and then they keep going. And it like broke my heart, because as I'm like, no one's seeing anything. They're looking at a bunch of stuff, but they're seeing absolutely nothing. There's detail in some of this artwork that is amazing. And if you stopped and read the little card and then you looked back at the art, you could, even me who doesn't really, I am not an art historian who knows all of the, like what it takes to create and preserve art in the way that some people do, I was amazed and astounded by some of these people. I found myself in front of one piece, and I just started weeping, and I'm like, I don't know why I'm crying. And then that's a conundrum. And so I was watching this happen, and I noticed that there are X's above some doors and arrows above some other doors, and I was like, oh, I've been going the wrong way. I've been going through the X and coming out. So I'm like, I should play by the rules, so I'm going to start following the arrows. So I started following the arrows, and it led me out of the museum. And you can't get back in once you're out. But a friend had told me about another museum. I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm supposed to just go to this other one. And she had told me, you can go to the big ones, but if you can get to this little one called Musée San Marco, you will discover art that will just, it's smaller, it's more profound, she says all these things. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go there. So I went. There was not a crowd. And it is an old Dominican convent. And I walked through and was able, the architecture was lovely and simple. And the art was still in its original place. And people stopped. And you could feel that people were seeing instead of consuming. We have a way in life here in the United States, and as a tourist in Florence, of going so fast that we look at a lot of things, but we don't actually see. And here was Jesus with his 12 disciples, a large crowd, colliding with another crowd. There's weeping and there's mourning, and I imagine Jesus saw her. He saw her. The phrase "Jesus saw" is used over 40 times in the four Gospels. And that's just "Jesus saw." If you looked up "he saw" or "the Lord saw," it multiplies that number exponentially. And it is so easy to pass by that phrase because it's so normal. We think, like, yeah, Jesus saw. But Jesus seeing is the first posture of his love towards us. He sees us. He sees us. So I'm going to read the passage again. And this time I want you to imagine, if you can, imagine that you are Jesus in this story. That you are in, you have a crowd of your friends around you. You've been walking for 11 miles. There's a crowd and a funeral coming at you. What happens when you see? If it would be helpful to close your eyes, feel free to close your eyes. Let's listen and imagine for a moment together what it would be like to see in the midst of all of this. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and he touched the bier where they were carrying him on. And the bearer stood still and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and they praised God. What is it like to see, to be so attentive that you see what is going on in someone else's life? When I read the gospel stories, I learned from a teacher to always posture myself in two ways, with one foot in the story and one foot in my own life, so that I'm reading it and understanding the context, and I'm understanding the story, and I'm understanding what's happening. And then I also am reading it going, and this story is for me too. So what does this story have to say to me about who I am and who Jesus is and how we interact with each other? So I would like you for a second to think about a place in your own story right now where you, like this widow, carry grief. Maybe you carry some angst about a situation. Maybe you're angry. Some place that might feel invisible to the watching world. And I'm going to read this story one more time. And this time, imagine you are the widow. You are the widow. You have lost something dear to you. You're holding something grievous. And let's let's imagine this together. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to the town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and he touched the bier that they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. And Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. What does it feel like to be seen? A number of years ago, 10 now, I was going through a season that I had decided to do some personal work. So I was going to see a counselor, and I was dealing with all the things of life. And it was I had just kind of spoken out loud some things from my story for the very first time. And in doing that, I realized that though I could have said the facts of the story, I didn't really see it until many years later. And it was in that moment that I had this very weird dream. And I am a little bit of a dreamer. And so sometimes they're profound and other times they're very ridiculous. Like playing hacky sack with Bill Cosby, watching hockey being played on a soccer field. And in this dream, it was right before my 40th birthday, and there were penguins falling out of the sky, emperor penguins, and I was driving on this road to nowhere, and then I woke up, and I was like, well, that is just silly. And in the course of that time, I had over probably the next month had 4 or 5 people tell me that they had a dream about me with an emperor penguin. And I was like, well, this is weird. So I was like, I got to figure out what is happening. What are emperor penguins? Why are they important? And so I started Googling, and emperor penguins can be said that they are the most loyal of all fathers in creation, for they hold their children for the survival of the next generation. And I was like, oh, that feels like what's happening to me, is that I feel like I'm being held, not only for my survival, but for the survival of the next generation. And that it was, and so then there was just this goofy, I was like, well, Jesus, you're kind of being funny. Like, they would just, like, I'd be walking down the street and turn a corner and there'd be a giant emperor penguins. And for about 2 years, whenever I would get to, not whenever, but I would say over half of the times when I would be in a stressful situation, I would turn and there would be something with a penguin on it. It was the weirdest thing, but it was this little moment for me of going, Jesus sees me. And so I was on a trip visiting some friends, and I had taken myself for a walk, and I always wear the wrong shoes. Guys, I only brought flip-flops to Florence. Who does that? No, I walked 10 miles a day in flip-flops. It's not good. So once again, this is consistent with my character. I was wearing really bad shoes and had walked 13 miles, and I was exhausted, and my feet hurt, and I was cranky, and I was at the end of everything because I hadn't eaten either, and I just don't do a good job of taking care of the self. And so I'm like, God, I'm just so tired, and this feels like my life, and sometimes I'm very dramatic with Jesus, and I'm like, this just feels like my life. I'm at the end of everything, and then my friend meets me, and we go sit in a cafe, and I open up the menu, and I turn and look at the wall for some reason, and it was penguin wallpaper. And then I get out of the little cafe, and I stop at this there was a little hut that had like antique books in it, and all of them were published by Penguin Publishing. And then I went into a store, and there was a giant penguin display. And it was like I got flooded with this, oh, Carrie, I see you. My goodness is coming after you. It's coming after you. It's coming after you. The first person in all of Scripture to give God a name was Hagar, an Egyptian slave who escaped to the wilderness. And the name that she gave to God was Elroy, El Roy, the God who sees me. We can pass by this phrase, but I want you to listen to some of these phrases where Jesus sees. When Jesus saw their faith, he saw the anxious inquirers. He saw the devout worshipers. He saw the hungry multitude. He saw weeping mourners. He saw the distressed mother. He saw a man named Matthew. He saw her. He saw Simon and Andrew. He saw them toiling. He saw their faith. I stand here this morning as someone who is seen by God. And I have been comforted in being known that God sees me. The song that Charlie wrote and sang last week was really a song of being seen by God, by his beloved. We long to be seen, not just to be looked at, but to have someone see us. And Jesus' response here was that Jesus saw and he had compassion. He did not see and judge. He saw and he had compassion. And then he went and he moved towards death to bring life there. So this is the pattern of Jesus. Jesus sees, he has compassion, he moves towards darkness and death to bring life there. That is exactly what happened in this passage. That is what, when Jesus saw the multitudes and knew that they were hungry, he fed them. He had compassion on them. I would invite you to, if you get curious, to open up your New Testament and look up how many times does it say, and he saw and had compassion. It's significant. He saw and he had compassion. Think about the place where you most definitely do not want to be seen. What if it's that place that Jesus sees and he does not judge you, but he sees you and he has compassion? And then he brings life. He moves towards your darkness and he brings life there. That is the movement of Jesus. We get to be a part of that when we see each other. When we see someone and wonder, well, I don't know, I see them all over the place. Maybe I should just say hi. What if our sight led us not to judgment, but led us, like Jesus, to compassion? And what if that compassion led us to move into dark places to bring light to them? Jesus sees, he moves towards, he comforts, and he brings life. This is why this story is my favorite encounter with Jesus. It's so incredibly normal. He saw. And we all long to be seen. And we all get to be an extension of God's seeing of other people and one another. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you see us, that you love us, that you move towards us, that your sight leads to compassion and not judgment. I pray that we would be transformed and formed in that same way, that we too would be conduits of life through what we see.